This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle within us the fire of your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our souls and set them on fire. Amen. Please be seated. Okay, so what if you had this great piece of pie, great pie, on your kitchen counter, and it was there, and you love pie, and you're not on a diet, but you don't eat it, and nobody in your house eats it? Or maybe you have this piece of mince pie, and somebody's already kind of cut a piece and left a fork for you, kind of enticing you maybe to eat of it, but nobody eats it. Or maybe you've got this great party set up for this young child, and everything is ready, and nobody comes. Nobody's there. You decide just not to have the party. Or maybe you love to bike. You absolutely love it, and somebody has given you the bicycle that you want more than anything. And you've got that bicycle right there, ready for you. But you don't take it down, and you never get on it. And you never get on it. Or maybe you've composed this amazing piece of music, an amazing piece of music, and you put it on a shelf, and nobody ever plays it. No one ever sings it. Or maybe there are two people in conflict, needing only to speak the truth in love, fully capable of doing that. And if they doubt, they have people that will help them do that. And yet, they don't speak the truth in love. And so they separate. And lastly, maybe you and your friends love, absolutely love, local fresh produce. And you absolutely have done everything to get this local farmer to deliver it right to your door. And you've worked out this great barter, and he brings this harvest. And your friends come over, and yet none of you partake. None of you partake of the feast. All right, so if you would just hold those images, hold those opportunities, and many more that I'm sure you could think of yourself, just hold them at bay for a minute in light of today's gospel. In light of today's gospel. In beginning to explore what happened on Easter Day, we started that last week, and the beginning of our gospel today is a continuation of Easter Day. It starts off by saying, when it was evening on that first day of the week. It was Easter Day they're talking about. So as you remember, in the morning, Mary Magdalene was the first one that went to the tomb and found out that the Lord wasn't there and ran, afraid, sure that the enemies had taken Christ from the tomb. And what happens? She sees this man in the garden, doesn't recognize him, but when he speaks her name, she knows it's Jesus. Right there. Right there. And she believes and runs and tells. Two more come. And they believe. And she runs back and she tells everybody. And that afternoon, as we heard last week, some people were walking on the road to Emmaus and Jesus was walking with them and they didn't recognize him either. But when he broke bread with them, they recognized him. So now we've got this group of followers in a room at night. And they are scared to death because what they have seen happen in the 3 days prior was awful and ghastly. And no different than a lot of other crucifixions, except that it had happened to this man, Jesus, that they thought was going to be revolutionizing their lives. And now, he too had been crucified and had died. Now, scholars believe that the people in that upper room may not have only been the 11 apostles. Judas was already gone, remember? May not have just been the 10 or 11 apostles, but it says disciples. So it could have been just a group of faith followers, women included. And they were gathered there, but they had locked the doors because they were panicked. They were fearing. In the text, it says the Jews, but in actuality, what it was is not all the Jews. They were just in fear of the local authorities who were Jewish. Remember, they were Jewish Christians. We can get some real anti-Semitic language in this gospel if we're not careful. So keep that in mind. This was just the authorities that they feared, and rightly so. I wonder if they didn't hear about Mary and what Mary had said. I think they probably did, but they were too afraid to truly, truly believe unless they too had seen with their own eyes. So Jesus comes right through the locked doors, right through the locked doors of their minds and their hearts and their fear, and appears before them and says, "Peace be with you." And their hearts rejoiced with joy in the knowledge that it really was true. It really was true. They didn't have tweets or instant messages or any kind of instant communication, remember, in those days. And now they knew that it was true. And Jesus, he told them this would happen not so many weeks before. He told them this would happen. "So you have pain now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." He told them that before he was crucified. "I will see you again." They may not have realized what he was meaning. They may have thought, "I'll see you again in your dreams or in spirit," but he really meant, "See you again in the flesh." He told them that, and now he's fulfilling it in the flesh. Then a week later, they're back in their room, and Thomas was not with them, the script tells us. And so Thomas is there, and Thomas says, "Okay, I'm not going to believe it. I know you're telling me that you saw him, but I am not going to believe it until I see it with my own eyes." Well, Thomas, you know, even if you've never set foot in a church before, you've heard the line, "Doubting Thomas," right? You've all heard, "Don't be a doubting Thomas." Well, Thomas kind of gets a bad rap in all of this because he was no different. He was no different than Mary. When Mary got there, she thought that enemies had taken the Lord. She didn't remember what Jesus had told her, had told them. He was no different than the other disciples who were in the locked room just a week before, wondering what was going on and fearing for their lives and not sure that they could believe. And Thomas was brave enough, bold enough, to strongly assert his doubt. And unbelief is what the Greek translation actually is. It's unbelief. But Thomas, remember, was one of the 12. He was a devout believer for a long time and followed this man Jesus, and now had a broken heart. Had a broken heart and was afraid to give of himself again, was afraid to believe because he had put everything in this man, Jesus. I'm sure we can relate when we've been badly hurt. It's really fearful to believe again. And so Jesus, once again, comes right into the room and appears and gives Thomas exactly what he needs to believe. Exactly what he needs to believe. "Peace be with you," he says once again. We cannot judge Thomas for being a doubter because Thomas is so much like us. For we too wonder and we too go in and out of belief and unbelief at times, especially when things are hard. And what this gospel is telling us, that especially when things are difficult, say over and over to yourself, as if Jesus is speaking to you, "Peace be with you," until you can believe it in your heart and soul. Peace be with you. To gather together in praise and worship, in prayer and song, like we do each week, we reinforce our own longing and our own faith by coming together in this way. And I'm so grateful that we have this community to do so. We who are as varied in our faith development as were those disciples, all in different phases of their own faith. And Jesus tells us the same thing he told his disciples: "Just as the Father sent me, now I send you." He told them this. He told them this same thing. And how does he send us? He told them this: "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And it can happen in an instant, and Christ is right there, in the very heart of that. Even if you're here today for the first time, or for the millionth time, I would invite you to suppositionally, like, just if I believed, I would do this. So just if you would believe, do an experiment with yourself and say, "Okay, if you are real, Jesus, show me. Show me yourself." And then watch. Don't shut down or lock any door. Open yourself to the possibility that you will get an answer, but it'll be in your own unique way, in your own unique time. "Okay, Jesus, show me." And even if your faith is strong, in the midst of any kind of challenge or joy, you can say that same thing: "Show me." And you'll be shown. Chesterton, G.K. Chesterton, a famous writer, said, "It's not that Christianity doesn't work, it's that it's never been tried." It's not that Christianity doesn't work, it's that it's never been tried. We can say yes to faith. And remember all those images in the beginning? We can say yes to partake of the gifts that are always before us, and not necessarily in the physical. But we can say yes and partake of the feast and partake of the journey that has been given to us, that has been given to us. And in closing, I'd like to read you yesterday's prayer from a little book called Jesus Calling by Sarah Young. And imagine that this is Jesus talking directly to you. Let us pray. "Do not hesitate to receive joy from me, for I bestow it on you abundantly. The more you rest in my presence, the more freely my blessings flow into you. In the light of my love, you are gradually transformed from glory to glory. It is through spending time with me that you realize how wide and long and high and deep is my love for you. Sometimes the relationship I offer you seems too good to be true. I pour my very life into you, and all you have to do is receive me. In a world characterized by working and taking, the admonition to rest and receive seems too easy. There is an intricate connection between receiving and believing, my beloved. As you trust me more and more, you are able to receive me and my blessings abundantly. Be still and know that I am God. Amen.